anyway, I went out in the car. I said to them, I says, I'm going driving home. They said, you are not. There's girls everywhere. And I said, fuck the girls. They'll do well to catch me. So I wobbled anyway. Straight out into the yard and I spotted the authority yards. So I twisted the key. No sign of the door to open. I tried to twist it again. Key snapped. I said, what's wrong with the Toyota Yaris? I said, the cunt thing at mine thought in the 03. I'm driving a 08, so I kind of had known, didn't I had to get the spare key. So now I pulled the spare key out of the Wellington. I stuck it into the other yoke and opened up. She went, sat in, 2 minutes later, knock came to the door. Who was it? The cunt of a guard. Let down the window. I said, how are you, guard? How are you going on? He says, I says, how are you doing? He says, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. He says, why are you doing going home? And I said, Jesus Christ. I said, how do you mean, why am I doing going home? And the well time to go home is 12 o'clock. He said, were you drinking? I said, I was. He said, how many had you? I said, 45 pints. And he said, how do you mean 45 pints? I said, give me the bag and I blow the ass clean out of it and I'll soon show you 45 pints, you cunt.
Welcome along to my bonus episode of Get Up The Yard. It's International Week and a crucial one for the Republic of Ireland, as any hopes of making it to the World Cup next year rest on us beating Moldova this coming Friday and then Wales the following week in Cardiff. Guys, it's what we've been all gearing up to for, I suppose, for the last few weeks since the poor showing against Serbia and Georgia. It's upon us now. It's a day away from the game tomorrow, and then of course the big one in Cardiff. Donny, Martin O'Neill has trimmed down the squad in preparation for these games. You have the list of players that have made it into the full squad and a little bit of information about them, so bring us through it. And I should also say that Ken and Dave are here to join the debate tonight in relation to the Republic of Ireland. But Donny, kick off, bring us through it, and then we'll get started.
Yep, so he's obviously trimmed it down. He had a few people that he left out of the squad. Obviously, Kevin Doyle's retired due to concussion injuries, which hopefully isn't as serious as it sounds, apart from heading the ball.
He's had a good career, I'd say. I'm very, very happy retirement, Doyle.
Yeah.
Some good memories, some good...
Never fulfills potential, I don't think. I always felt he just missed that yard or two of pace. He could have been a really, really top striker, but yeah, you know, he was a good servant for Ireland.
He was a good player for in a very difficult kind of period for us, daunting years, and maybe the early Trapattoni years. I thought he was, you know, a very good player. And
all right, fair enough. No, that is fair enough. But he's gone now, so we've got to move forward, unfortunately. Just to look at our goalkeepers, Darren Randolph played for Middlesbrough. He played a full 90 minutes in a 2-2 draw. Not a great performance. He played a full 90 minutes. He was booked. Rob Elliott, Newcastle, obviously in a 1-1 draw with Liverpool. He played full 90 minutes. Colin Doyle at Bradford City, I'm sure you folks will be very pleased to know, he kept a clean sheet and played 90 minutes. And Cyrus Christie played a full 90 in Middlesbrough, and he was also booked. Richard Keogh played a full 90 minutes for Derby County. Stephen Ward, a very good performance against Everton on Sunday. He played a full 90 for Burnley. Shane Duffy played a full 90, but he was booked for Brighton & Hove Albion. Kieran Clarke, not very convincing against Liverpool. He made, I don't know if you lads saw it, he had an air shot. The ball came to him and he went to kick it and he missed it completely. Doesn't fill you full of confidence. He looked nervy, but he played a full 90. John O'Shea, a rare 90 minutes for him for Sunderland. Kevin Long at Burnley, though, was an unused sub in the match at Everton. Aidan McGeady scored. He played a full 90 minutes for Sunderland. James McLean was on a substitute at the 58th minute. He was booked and he gave away a free kick, which led to Watford equaliser, although I personally think it was a reasonable challenge, but the referee thought otherwise, and from that free kick in went the cross and that was the equaliser. Glenn Whelan doing reasonably well for Aston Villa, played full 90 minutes, he was booked. Jeff Hendrick, for Burnley, played 88 minutes. Good to have him back. Scored a goal as well. Scored the winner for Burnley at Everton. Jason McCarthy hasn't played. And we touched on this on the episode on Tuesday, that he's basically been warned by Everton not to play. But Martin O'Neill has said that he wants to give him every chance to play in the game against Moldova and also the game against Wales. So he is going to meet up. So that could be another club versus country row. Daryl Horgan was an unused sub at Preston North End. David Myler played full 90 minutes. He scored a penalty for his Hull City. I believe they won 6-1. Harry Arthur, calf injury. However, he is due to meet up with the Irish squad, and Martin O'Neill has said he wants to give him also every chance possible to make the game. Eunan O'Kane played full 90 for Leeds United. Wes Houlihan made a rare start for Norwich City. He was substituted on the 85th minute. Robbie Brady played a full 90 minutes for Burnley against Everton. Callum O'Dowda played 86 for Bristol City. Johnny Hayes played 90 for Celtic. Conor Hourihan played 90 for Aston Villa. And onto the forwards, of course, we don't have John Walters. He is injured and he's out of both games. But Shane Long did play a full 90 minutes for Southampton in the Premier League. Daryl Murphy played 90 for Nottingham Forest. Dave McGoldrick, well, he was subbed on the 66th minute for Ipswich Town in a 3-1 loss. Aidan O'Brien, a man that I've actually mentioned on this a couple of times, has finally got a recall, or a call, I should say. He plays for Millwall, and he played, but he only played 64 minutes, and he didn't score. He's only scored 2 goals. Sean Maguire, Preston North End, 88 minutes. And Scott Hogan, another uncapped member of the squad for Aston Villa, it was an unused sub. Kieran Westwood was taken out of squad. He didn't play the weekend. He is injured. Paul McShane, who's not in the squad anymore, he did play full 90 minutes. John Egan, unfortunately, still out from concussion. He was taken off the 16 minutes last week. Greg Cunningham was not in the squad. Matt Doherty for Wolves played a full 90 minutes. Unfortunately, he's not in the squad. Stephen Quinn, no sign of him. Alan Brown for Preston North End played 90 minutes. And, of course, John Walters is the other name on the list. So it seems actually, lads, that a lot of Irish players are playing, which is good. Very few not actually playing 90 minutes or playing a bit of football. So seem to be in good form, really. And I think with injection of a couple of younger lads coming in with the old guard like John Walters. I love Walters, but, you know, we need new players coming in. Scott Hogan, I haven't really seen much of him. Kenny, have you seen much of Scott Hogan and Villa? What type of striker is he?
Yeah, I've seen a good bit of him. He's a typical Villa striker in that he doesn't score that many goals. He hasn't lit the world on fire since he joined Villa. He'll work his socks off, and that's, I think, somebody we need to keep blooding through the Ireland squad. I think he was a big fish in a small pond at Brentford, and he's found it tough to adjust to Villa. Couple of injuries stopped them settling in, but I think he could become a good player for us in the years to come. Not really ready for this weekend though. We've got players in that list and that squad that should be well ahead of him for this weekend. Even young Shani Maguire, I'd put on the pitch ahead of Hogan anyway. I think Martin O'Neill might fancy David McGoldrick. He's in good form. Probably start with Daryl Murphy because he's also in good form, scoring a couple of goals, which is good to see. We were really lacking goals as an overall squad probably before the summer break, and I think we've got players who are getting goals. There is some players in that list that, you know, there's play, you read out a list of players all playing, but we've got loads more playing as well. Youngsters like Liam Kelly at Reading, Matt Doherty there keeps getting overlooked. I don't know why. We've got a good few players playing in championship level and playing week in, week out. So I think we do have a good squad to choose from. We're missing that spark, and I don't know who's going to provide it for us on Friday. I think, well, Friday's game should be easy enough for us. We should win that. I think Myler and Houlihan played very well against Serbia. I'll hope to see both of those included. He's going to give James McCarthy every chance to start, but I think he might rest him up and force him to play against Wales. put him in there, and then fear the wrath of Ronald Koeman afterwards, and have a proper row. At least if we don't beat Wales, we'll have something to talk about, him and Ronald Koeman having a public spat, I presume. And that's the way I would see it. But reading through the squad there, you know, there's nobody you'll shout out and go, oh, I can't believe he's left out somebody like we had all the time under Trapp with, oh, he's left out Andy Reid and then he left out Houlihan. There's nobody really else there that you'd shout for to go into the squad. And I think it really picks itself at the minute.
Yeah. I think, though, that's probably, I mean, I've argued about this. I don't think O'Neill's brought in enough young players with the friendlies. I don't think he's experimented enough. I don't think he's tried to blood enough players coming through, to be honest with you, to give these guys a chance to see how they do in the green jersey. Personally, that's just my take on it, lads. I don't know what you think about it. I think we said it last week where he's a very cautious, conservative manager, O'Neill. But, you know, he likes to kind of pick the same team over and over again, a squad of players, and then kind of work with them. But I really think he should have been trying harder to come through with better players. I think we've relied on the old guard too much. You know, we haven't given players like Harry Archer a chance. I know he played against Georgia, but that was just in a rubbish formation, and we've done that one to death. But I don't think he's experimented enough. As you say, Kenny, there's loads of young players out there. If you go through, I mean, there was that young lad as well, Aidan O'Brien. I mean, he scored a couple of goals. He should have been in his squad earlier.
Declan Rice off West Ham, another one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can see off Leeds as well. Another one coming through.
Exactly. I mean,
defenders.
He's got the likes of like Callum O'Dowd in the squad there. He came on against Serbia. He came on and look, he really, really wasn't up to it. Every touch he gave the ball away was the wrong option he'd chosen. And it wasn't Callum O'Dowd's fault in that game. It was, he should have been blooded in and given a proper chance, you know. That's one example of a player he's sticking with and bringing into the squad. But he's not giving him enough of a chance to go through, which we've agreed upon already. So there's not much he can do for these two games. I wouldn't want him starting O'Dowd on Friday and then seeing if that helps him come through to the Wales game. Not really the time for him to be doing that. We definitely need to turn our attention to doing that type of thing after these two games. Well, if we get to a playoff, you know, we won't do it there, but there is lots of players, and that next level of player coming through, we really need to blood them. And we have this new competition of the Nations Cup coming, and we're going to have plenty of chances to have really competitive type games, which are, you know, our competitive fixtures, but we can treat them as friendlies and bring true players, and we've got a good chance to do that. And I think it's a good call by UEFA to bring that in.
Yeah.
Another player that we missed, I think, in the last two internationals was Jeff Hendrick. He's always done a job for us. He's always put in some good performance. He was, I think, probably our best player of the Euros. And he was good in some of the earlier games of this campaign. He's a player who scored a good goal there the weekend. We're talking about players that are on form. He seems to be getting back into the Burnley team, and he seems, you know, be a player that we'd have. Him and Moyler, I'd like to see play in centre mid. I think they would cause a bit of problems.
We're going to have to rely upon somebody like Hendrick and Houlihan, I presume, with Brady suspended and McLean suspended, aren't they both out? So we're going to need to get a spark from somewhere, and I think we're going to have to rely upon them. And it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see, because Hendrick's always had another player that maybe would have been marked by the opposition to allow him to play a little bit. He's never the central point to be your playmaker, and I think that's going to be a little bit of pressure on him on Friday, but it's against Moldova, so hopefully he can settle in and pull the strings for us. I presume he's going to start, you know.
I just think someone like Glenn Whelan, like, I don't think he should be picked anymore in the squad. I think he's 33, he plays with Championship, you know, no offence, Kenny, but, you know, he's played Premier League, now he's playing in the Championship, albeit it's probably the biggest club he's ever played for, Aston Villa, ironically.
Definitely bigger than Man City anyway.
Yeah, well, Man City at that time weren't exactly a U squad. But no, I mean,
look, him and Hourihan are actually playing very well together, but and Villa are in a great run of form, but you know, we're not building our squad on based on Glenn Whelan. He's had his day. He's been a servant to the country, albeit divided the country. Well, I don't think he really divided it. There wasn't many people on his side always calling out for him. He's done a job and he's done his bit. But I think we have those players coming through the midfield, the likes of Hourihan, Hendrick. They're going to be around for quite some time. Myler is getting older, all right, but hopefully you can see him getting consistent football again at Hull, playing week in, week out. I think we could build on those players for the near future.
I really think, I mean, I'm looking here, I think there's a decent team here in the making. Like, there's a nucleus there. Now, you would go with Myler and Hendrick and maybe Arthur as well. Arthur's a very good player. And I know it didn't go well with Georgia, but I said that was a mess. That was a whole mess, that thing was. You know, Myler could do the job that Glenn Whelan is supposed to do, but he can do it a lot better. You got Arthur, Hourihan, you know, he needs to go now. That he shouldn't be in the argument anymore, because you know he just can't really do it, especially at 35. You know,
he was probably the best player in the pitch against Serbia, so we're going to need him 100%.
He's an impact
player
for me.
Yeah, I mean, if he's still
me, he's a player you bring on 40 minutes ago if it's not going well for you.
Yeah,
if you're 1-0 down, then you bring him.
Okay, no, I'll go with that. Yeah, no, I was wrong there. That's a fair point. But McGeady, I wouldn't be playing him. McLean, yeah, fair enough. McCarthy, he's going to probably go to a team like Stoke. That's where you probably end up. Horgan, he doesn't seem to play a lot for Preston. Robbie Brady, big disappointment for me, but I do think he's better as a left back. He gives us an attacking option. He gives us a decent option on the set piece normally. Johnny Hayes, 30-year-old, playing for Celtic. I don't know a lot about him, to be honest. I don't watch Scottish football. I mean, Shay Long, 30-year-old, up front. For me, he's never... I've never rated him, really. He was never going to ever be able to lace or even get anywhere near Robbie Keane's boots. Donald Murphy, 34. McGoldrick, 29. Big lads. Aidan O'Brien, I don't know much about him. Maguire and Hogan as well. You know, and they're relatively young. Like, you've got O'Brien, he's 24. Maguire, 23. Hogan's 25. So there's something there. I think there's a decent... I think with the right man in charge that will actually get those lads to play a bit of football with Hendrick and Arthur and McLean. I think that there's a decent... I think it's a decent nucleus there. And, you know, we'll always have a good goalkeeper. And in defence, Christie, I wouldn't really rate, but, I mean, he's doing a job for Seamus Coleman. And, you know, Duffy seems to come on a little bit. Ward seems to be a whole new player as well. Clark, don't rate him fully, but we're probably a little bit unfortunate there. With Kieran Clark. But no, I think with the right manager, I think there's enough there to qualify for a tournament, at least be competitive. That's just my take. Maybe I'm being a bit too optimistic for once.
It's a bit strange hearing you being optimistic about things there, don't you? Yeah.
I haven't had a lot of
doom and gloom, but we certainly do have a good squad, but we've a good enough squad to win these next two games. So what are we going to do? What's our predictions for tomorrow? What do you think, Dunny?
I think tomorrow, I think it'd be 2-0 to Ireland, 2-3-0 to Ireland. I'm not really too bothered about that game. It's the one in Cardiff that worries me. I really think if Wales go into momentum, they're going to do us 3-0. And what I'm also quite concerned about, I know you don't want to get bogged down in this conversation, but apparently from what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing in the papers today in the Independent, is that no matter what way this campaign finishes, that Martin O'Neill will be kept on as Ireland manager. That's what is being sounded out. I don't think that should be put in front of a manager. I think they should be kept guessing up until the very end, quite frankly. You know, dangle that carrot in front of them, as you say. But yeah, I think we'll do it. I think we'll do them tomorrow, 2-3-0. We should be doing Moldova 2-3-0 home. If we draw that game,
Yeah, we definitely should be to come in on the Martin O'Neill extended contract. Really, if you're going to have a tactic where you're giving a manager a longer term stint, you're better off telling him at the start of the the campaign, which will enable him to then build for the 4 years rather than build for the 2 years. He's not likely to take much gambles thinking if he's trying to play for his job and then he finds out beforehand. I think if you wanted to and tell him that he's building a squad for the next 4 years, you know, we got to Euros and things went well there. Look, we might make this World Cup, but let's build for the next 4 years. That's fine, but the way we've done it doesn't sound right. And if he is going to be extended, let's hope it's in the right terms after us at least getting to this playoff position, winning these two games.
Yeah. Don't want complacency setting in there. I think that's what the worry there would be with, you know, saying don't worry, you're grand. You will sign you for your new contract next year. Regardless of results, you should always be trying to get the results. You should always be trying to build for, you know, the future in case that is what is kept on, because his job shouldn't just be this campaign. His job should be building for the future and blooding young players through anyway for the, you know, the benefit of the future generation. I mean, it's his responsibility. It's his job to be doing that. You're seeing it with Wales now. I mean, Wales are blooding in, like, they're taking chances on younger players. They've taken Woodburn there from Liverpool. They've tied up David Brooks from Sheffield United, who's going to be an absolutely tremendous player. I've heard Liverpool are actually linked with him. He's going to be... I don't know if he'll play in the games now, but, I mean, there's a good chance he'll come on and do some damage. Another fella that Frank mentioned, actually, Ethan Appendu, who could have been eligible for Ireland. Wales just basically, he could have declared for Ireland, England or Wales. He's Wales have just included him in the squad as well.
So yeah, his dad represented Ireland under 21s.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So, he's Wales are doing this. It's exactly what Dunne was saying a couple of weeks ago that Ireland aren't doing. So, you know, maybe it is... it's something that they should be looking at for the future, regardless of whether he's got a contract for 2 years or 4 years. He should always be laying the foundations for the future. And you know, you only just look at Wales to see how that's paying off for them.
Yeah, I totally agree there. I think that's really shit management from O'Neill. Never mind Keane's a mouthpiece, but I think that's really poor. And although we know it's never going to happen, but if I was John Mulaney, I'd be like, well, hold on, you know, why aren't you bringing young lads through? Where are we going to go after this? But Delaney isn't a football man. He isn't. He I know he's a Gaelic man, isn't he, originally? Even though I know his father was a top man a few years ago in the FAI. But they don't never struck me as football people. And that's where a football person would sit down and go, hold on a second, Martin, why haven't you brought this guy through? There's this other lad here as well. You know, where's it? Have you been doing enough scouting young players? Why are you going to Fulham and Middlesbrough? What is the point in doing that? What are you going to learn about Darren Randolph? What are you going to learn about Cyrus Christie? They played for you. Why aren't you going for people that are either A, coming back from injury, or B, people that can give you something, give us more options instead of playing this, picking the same squad over and over again? I think it's really poor management, and obviously, well, Delaney to. He's a fucking disgrace anyway, allegedly. But yeah, it's not good. I don't think it's good anyway. Wales are absolutely signing these guys up. And you hear a lot of this nonsense. Oh, I don't want players, you know, we shouldn't be giving out caps to players. You know, Davy Langdon, when, you know, he'd play with his leg hanging off us. Yeah, that's all well and good, and that's very fanciful. But we have to be realistic. We have a very small pool of players. There's no facilities at the moment because the grassroots is a disgrace in Ireland, and it has been for a very, very, very long time. We have to rely on people that are born outside of the island of Ireland and sometimes up the road in Northern Ireland. We have to rely on that. We just have to cut our cloth accordingly. But I just think we just haven't done enough. When Charlton took over, he went to all clubs and he posted a letter saying that anybody who... has an Irish grandfather or grandparent or a mother or whatever, please get in touch and we'll come and watch you play. And they went up and down the breadth of Britain and watched these players play. And we got the likes of John Aldridge, We got Ray Houghton actually in the same meeting. I don't see these guys doing that. And I think Kenny has touched on something there. I don't know whether it would have changed Martin O'Neill's thinking, because he is that kind of character. He's very stubborn and conservative. But I do think that maybe to have told him, look, here's a 4-year contract, because we need to build another, because we've got an aging side. We need young players coming through. So here's a bit more budget to go around, get players, have a look at this guy, see what's coming in. If you need a few more scouts to look at them, you know, we'll pay that, because we really need to bring young lads coming through. That's my take on it. But I think it's too little too late in terms of this campaign anyway. And it's going to be a whole rebuilding process after this campaign, whether we go through or not, you know.
Yep.
Someone want to come in there?
Yeah, certainly. I just want to come in on something there where we're praising the Welsh approach on things. You know, only a few months ago, Wales were dead in the water in this group. We fundamentally haven't got everything wrong as a group and as a team. We started the campaign better than we've started any campaign ever. We were right in the hunt, and we were right at the top. So we've called for fundamental changes at the top, for O'Neill to go from your side, more or less. Problems with Delaney. These things end up not affecting us as much as they should be, and we end up doing a pretty good job. And I think we could win these two games and forget about some of those fundamentals, and it's up to us to make sure we don't gloss over the changes that we know are needed should we still qualify. You know, if we still go and qualify, it'll be okay, everything's rosy, we're great. We need to really be voicing those things and making sure that the changes are made and we do blood the right players through, you know. But having said that too, we don't need to go full totally and knock on every door and see if somebody's related to somebody in Ireland and get them playing. It's not the right approach, you know. We have players, we've probably rang Mark Noble about 500 times to see if he'd play for us. Like, you know, he doesn't want to play for us. That's it. Scram, move on. I think we put it out there that there's a chance to come and play, but I don't want to be knocking down the doors of players because they haven't got their chance, you know. There's the likes of Grealish now, who declared for England and his career went down the toilet. You know, are we going to go knocking his door to take him back? No, we're not going to, and that's the right thing to do.
I'm not saying we should like harass Mark Noble until like he just gives up and like signs a contract. I mean, if you say no, you say no, and it's over with and it's done. But it's just like, you know, the way Charlton did it was: are you interested in playing for Ireland? Now, I'm not saying you do it. You wouldn't do it with a note now, because obviously that was going back 30 odd years ago. But just the intention was there that, you know, we need to improve a bigger pool of talent. He put the groundwork in. And built a really good.
I don't think Charlton doing that groundwork. I don't think O'Neill should be doing that groundwork either. You know, that should be coming down from a younger age, and our under 21 manager or under 19 manager.
Yeah, but my point is, Ken, though, but my point is that we don't have a system there. Any normal country, and Ireland is not a normal country. We don't do. When it comes to planning and it comes to long-term planning, that is not a strength in Ireland at all with anything that we do. You just have, you know, you just have to, I could give you several examples. And football is no different to that. And we have no long-term plan. We have nothing, like we have a Dutch guy over there, doctor, doing what he's doing. We have someone like Brian Kerr, who's now gone between RTE and TV3, kind of whoring himself out a little bit to, you know, to make a living. And that's fair enough. That man should be involved in Irish football, but he's not for different reasons. We know the reasons. And we don't have the normal setup like any other country would. So what I'm saying to you is that until we get that right, where you can actually have players coming through, we have League of Ireland players coming through and are playing at a good standard, where we have a really good standard in the League of Ireland. The players are there, the ability is there, but whether we're going to get the best out of that and exploit that, I don't know. I don't think we will. You know, we have to get them off to England. I just think that if I was the manager, I would want the very best. You hear people like, I think Stephen Hunt said it, we shouldn't just be giving caps away. Blah. If we had just got Jack Grealish in, never mind the whole thing. I thought they handled that very poorly. Just get him in. Fuck it, get him in. Well, you're playing for us now, that's it. All right, fair enough. And you get players, you know, players just get on with it. And it is funny that when we made a deal about this and when we handled it so poorly and we were like, well, we don't really want you, you know, if you don't want to play, you know, just get him in. Worry about it later on, you know, and if he turns out to be a dud, he's a dud, but, you know, we've got him in. And just to touch on your point about the fundamentals, what we didn't get wrong or whatever, yeah, we had a great start, but the manager made a balls of it. And, you know, we don't want to go on about that again. So he got that wrong. And I do think that the win in Vienna was almost by accident. You know, he was, oh, Jesus, he's probably playing for a draw. Well, he says he plays for a win, but, you know, he's probably expecting a draw there and he got a win. It's like, oh, what do we do here? I don't think we've done a lot right, to be fair. And I would say, if I was talking with my heart, I want Ireland to win against Moldova. I want us to beat Wales. I want us to go to the World Cup in Russia, give a great account of ourselves, and then hopefully get money into the association that will go to where it needs to go. That's what my heart would say. My head is telling me that probably what might be better for the long term of Irish football, and this is just my head, it's not what I want, but I'm just thinking with my head, is that maybe if we make a bollocks of things against Moldova and gets mullered by Wales in Cardiff, and then it's like, well, actually, hold on, there's something really, really wrong here. And then there's no papering over cracks. Everything's exposed for what it is, and then action will be taken. But then I've seen that happen before with Steve Staunton, and the cracks were just papered over again. So I don't know. I do think we need a massive fundamental change, but I just don't see where it's going to go. I would have agreed with Frank in the last episode about where Ancelotti would have ended up and going to Ireland, genuinely. But the fact that what's coming out of the FAI is that they're going to give O'Neill another contract. That's why I said he'd probably go off to China somewhere. But no, I think the manager, I don't know why he's going to see Fulham, Middlesbrough. I really don't. I don't know what he's going to learn from those players. Two players that are going to play anyway because he doesn't have another right back. Randolph's been his number one. Why is he watching that? Why wasn't he over Millwall watching Aidan O'Brien? Now, I know O'Brien got into the squad, but I just don't think they're doing enough personally. And I don't see, and I think the evidence is in the numbers.
I know you've made some very good points, both of you there, and I do agree with a lot of it. I don't subscribe to the notion that we don't have players coming through. We do. We've some very good young lads coming through. Some of the kind of clubs in England, and that we don't need to be knocking on players that have knocked us back before, like Grealish or Noble. I have faith, and I think hopefully O'Neill will have faith in the team, in the young lads for the next campaign, and we'll give them a chance and blood them in. But you know, obviously, this week is about getting results, and yeah. I think, you know, stick to the kind of, you know, players that have done the job for us for this for now anyway, and, you know, hope for the best. It's an outside chance, really. Even if we beat Wales, we're still relying on other results to actually get to the playoffs, because I think currently Wales are bottom of that playoff table.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's unlikely. I mean, even if we beat Wales, that we're going to make it to the playoffs, but we'll see. Yeah.
It should be nearly guaranteed, really. I know Wales are on the bottom of that group, but if we were in that group, we'd be ahead of them. We'd have more points. We'd be on 9 points with 6 games played, and then we'd have one more. Then if we beat Wales, then we should be guaranteed. Bosnia shouldn't take more than 4 points. Like, they're against Belgium and Estonia in their 2 games, which take preference, so they go
Belgium
into
are
this.
Already so true, Ken.
Belgium are already true, but you know, I don't see them. Martinez is still actually under pressure there in Belgium, so I'd see him putting out his full strength squad and making sure he gets a win there.
The mad thing is that this group is a bit crazy, and we are relying on the kindness of strangers, as the saying goes. But like, if Wales actually make a mess of this, which could still happen, by the way, in Georgia, they don't, if they come away with a draw or let's say they lose to Georgia, like Scotland did, then we beat Moldova, we go ahead of Wales. And then I think that could be quite damaging to Wales. And this is just using my, but this is what I want to happen, of course. But as I said, I do think if Wales do the business against Georgia, they'll be on a crest of a wave, and I think they'll just brush us aside because the confidence will be there. But I think if you get a bad
result, I'd actually rather them beat Georgia, to be honest,
and be overconfident.
Well, no, just that it simplifies what we have to do. You know, if in terms of, I'd imagine whatever happens, we probably have to go to Wales and win, but I don't know if that's the same situation for Wales or whether a draw would be good enough for them if they beat Georgia. Maybe Kenny can elaborate on that. But
basically it doesn't matter what Wales and Georgia do. In order to guarantee ourselves a playoff spot, we need to win both games anyway.
What I'm talking about.
So if Wales drop points against Georgia, we still need to beat them anyway to ensure we qualify.
But I'm more talking about Wales' mindset. If they beat Georgia, is a draw good enough for them?
Yeah, a draw is good enough for them because they're a point ahead of us. So yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the mindset I'd like Wales to have going into the match.
Yeah, they've got two options as such, and they can be like, we'll play for a draw here, and then we'll score on the break or something. Yeah, I get you.
It's the worst place to be because then it allows Ireland to pretty much set up quite easy in terms of. For the first half, you make sure you're not behind. And then in the second half, it's them that's going to get nervous, not us, because we know what we have to do and they'll get confused about what they have to do. Will they go for it? Will they try and protect what they have? I genuinely think that the best result for us would be Wales to beat Georgia. And then I actually fancy Ireland to go to Wales and nick something on a set piece.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, the glaring thing about the Serbia match, I think, was... Brady's delivery was poor that day. We didn't look like we had enough of the ball. I mean, I think we created a few opportunities, but we had not one there to finish off like our moves. Even when they were down to 10 men, Serbia still looked comfortable at dealing with our threat up front, and I think that's a worry. But as you said, if Brady can deliver like one or two, you know, good balls into the box, and you might get someone's head in it. We think we have a chance, and that's our best chance, I think, of getting someone out of Wales.
Yeah, and I also think Bale has a calf issue. I don't think he played the weekend for Madrid. He may well be back. I don't know whether they'll play him against Georgia or not. But regardless, I mean, I know he was very, very good against Dortmund. In the Champions League for Madrid, but if he's carrying, and he has been carrying niggly injuries for a while, you don't know whether he will play, and if he does play, what kind of tilt he'll be at. I mean, Gareth Bale and Tord Gear is probably still going to be the best player in the park, but you know, I'd much rather him in Tord Gear than being able to get into fifth. But you know, I know there's a lot of pessimism around the Ireland team at the moment, but you know, there was a lot of optimism and around them a couple of weeks ago, and as Ken said, a lot of pessimism around Wales, and you know, it almost reminiscent to the group last year. I know we identified it with Scotland and Ireland, and things change very quickly. And you know, Wales aren't a very good side, and having to go there and beat them to qualify or to get into a playoff, I think we always thought, no matter what happened in this group, that it would come down to this game in Cardiff. And that's most likely after Friday what will be facing us. And when I look at Wales, Hennessy is playing he's part of the worst defence in the Premier League at the moment with Palace. James Collins, I don't know if he's still knocking around or he'll be in the squad, playing with the second worst defence in West Ham. Ashley Williams seems to have aged 5 years. So there's grounds for optimism for Ireland, and Wales, you know, Bale doesn't turn up. Paul Robson, can he was decent, but I think Duffy and Clark will be able to manage that. And I think if we can do a good job, if Myler can stick to Bale, that we could be all right here. And particularly if Wales are caught in between a draw and a win, I think it'll be, if we can stay in the game as long as we don't allow Wales to get an early goal or take the lead. If we can keep that at nil all up until the 60, 70 minute, I genuinely think Wales will absolutely bottle it and chances will present. It's just whether Ireland have the firepower to take them and O'Neill have the guts to actually go at it.
I think if he plays an attacking side and does actually take the shackles off, so right, lads, this is it. We need to go for it. There is enough
but
quality.
To be honest,
there.
Donny, like, I mean, he doesn't need to play that. Like, the most important thing is I accept you have to eventually win the game, but you cannot lose the game in the first half trying to win it. Like, if he plays Whelan and Myler just to get us to 60 minutes at nil all and get Wales then thinking about, you know what, we're better off protecting the draw here than risking it for the win. And then when that kind of shift in mindset sets in, then bringing on Houlihan, then bringing on these guys, bringing on Maguire, and really putting it up to Wales and having them pinned back in. I mean, that's how ideally I'd see the match going. I think there's a very good chance it could go like that. And it's just important that we beat Moldova and that when the team sheet comes out on I think it's the following Tuesday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That people accept that, yes, Ireland do have to win, but they don't have to win in the first 10 minutes. They don't have to win in the first 20 minutes. They don't have to win in the first half. They can win with the last kick of the game. And it's very, very important that we you know, Wales will come out. It'll be a booming atmosphere. We got to see the storm through. And that involves having defensive-minded players there just to get us through, ride the wave, and, as I said, move them into a mindset where they get confused about, what do we do here? Do we go for it? Do we protect what we have? That's when Ireland can make hay. We just have to try and manoeuvre ourselves over the next 4 days into that position.
No, I mean, I totally see what you're saying. Historically, when we've had to do this, it's never worked out. Didn't work out in Warsaw, didn't work out in Geneva. Basel Stadium, when we played Switzerland that time. We lost 2-0. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, and you are right. You're totally right. I hear what you... Obviously, they just need to make sure that they're not... we're not behind in the first half, and it'll be interesting to see. All right,
look, as long as we don't go ahead early, that's our biggest problem.
Do you know it'd be beautiful?
We don't want to go ahead the first 5 minutes or 20 minutes, you know.
Do you know it'd be absolutely...
We genuinely don't, because that then simplifies Wales' task as opposed to ours. And now I've always said this, when Ireland can only have one result to play for, they only know how to play for one result. And if we take the lead, you know, that could be an absolute disaster for us, because then we'll be the ones who sit back and try and defend it, and it'll be Wales that get the late equaliser or winner. We got to be the ones that get to the 70th minute and have a very clear idea of what's needed to get through to the World Cup. It can't be a draw or a win. It literally has to be, we need a goal. And that's when Ireland play well.
Do you know it'd be beautiful? Do you know
that's when we played well against Italy.
You know, it'd be fantastic if last minute winner and Wes Houlihan scored. I'd be fucking trolling Robbie Savage. I will. I'd love that. If there's a football guy watching down, an opportunity to troll Robbie Savage, please give it to me. Give it to get up there. I'll be fantastic. Just that smug bastard.
Yeah, justice for us. Justice. I think it'll be a similar game to the Wales Northern Ireland game in the Euros, if you remember watching that game, when they were in the
no,
last 16. Well, they were in the last 16.
Tedious game.
It was a Wales pushing. They were both, you know, looking for a win, but the players were very familiar with each other in a different setting than they're used to playing, and it was a strange type of game which got swayed by an OG from I think it was Garrett McCauley, or one of the centre half scored an OG, and I think it could turn out the same, a scrappy goal and a scrappy game, similar to the terrible game we had between the two of us in the Aviva a couple of months ago. I think that's the way it's going to go. A scrappy goal at either end is going to make the difference, 1-0, and hopefully it'll be to us with Wes Houlihan scoring from the halfway line or something. proper scrappy. That's a scrappy goal for Wes, you know.
All right, well, look, I probably best leave it there. Then we could probably talk all night, but we need to get ready for the game tomorrow. So I'm sure the weekend we'll be discussing it. As we said, no, Cardiff means nothing unless we put 3 points on the board tomorrow night. So it's what's expected, it's what's needed, and we'll be reviewing that match and looking at the Wales match more in depth, and of course their result in Georgia. So we will be back Sunday to discuss all that. But thanks a million again for your contributions tonight, lads. Do you want to finish up with a prediction for tomorrow's match, and we can save our predictions for the Wales match on Sunday?
2-0 Ireland.
3-1
Ireland. 2-0
as well.
We'll concede. All right. Well, thanks a million, lads, and we'll talk again the weekend.
Cheers.
4-0.
Get up the yard.